Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. On today's episode, I'm joined by singer and writer extraordinaire, Leah Tanton. Leah sits down and chats about her unexpected journey in life and how her testimony might benefit those listening to our episode today. From growing up in California, to moving to Illinois, then hopping on a plane to Spain and starting a rock band with her siblings, to then moving to the Philippines and following her passions before those passions came to what seemed like a crashing halt before moving back to Illinois, Leah has a lot to share on following God's leading and obeying him, even when it means that your dreams have to be put on hold for a while. Leah is a true spitfire, a wonderful spirit-filled woman with lots of wisdom and encouragement to share. So turn up the volume, sit back, and get ready for what is definitely going to be a fun and truly heartfelt episode. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Welcome, friends, to another episode of Dressed in Splendor. Today, we are joined by a new friend of mine, Leah Tanton. Leah and I met at an event for women this past spring, and after getting to know one another, we realized that we had a lot in common and decided to meet up for coffee. Well, the rest, as they say, is history. She's quickly become a very good friend of mine. She has such a heart for wanting to follow God's will for her life and being obedient, even when her obedience leads her down a path that she would not have chosen for herself, which I can totally relate to, and I know that a lot of you listening probably can too. We'll dig deeper into that, but first, Leah, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for you to be here.
Very excited. I'm so happy to be here and glad you asked me to come on.
I know. I honestly feel like sometimes the Lord places new people in my life just so that they can be on the podcast, also for new friendships, but this is just exciting. So before we get into all of that, could you just share a little bit more about yourself for our audience?
Yes. So one of the coolest things about me is I am a twin. So there's a duplicate being of me, and we constantly challenge each other in our mannerisms and our walks with God. And just having that other person makes me feel a lot stronger. So yeah. That's kind of the coolest thing about me. But yeah, I'm also an individual. I sing, I'm a jazz singer, and then I work full-time at a law firm, and most of my days also spent with Youth for Christ, and I work with students, so that's one of my other passions.
That's really cool. I mean, you and I have joked about, I did not know that you were twins. So I was like, oh, we're basically twins.
Right.
And so then you're like, actually, I already have one. It's like, well, okay, I'm your triplet. So.
Yes, exactly.
But you and I have related so much. We both love to sing. We both love to write. We both love to travel. And that's one of the things that I think that, you know, we both grew up traveling a lot. So share with us a little bit about where you grew up and also share what it was like growing up and moving around to different places around the world.
Yeah, well, I grew up out in California, but my mom's from the Philippines and my father's from here in Illinois, Central Illinois, and they moved out there when my second brother was born. Mm-hmm. There's five of us, so we were born out there, and then I moved here to Illinois when I was like 16 or 17,
mm-hmm.
and after that, it's history. I mean, we left high school to travel abroad, and we studied at a school in Barcelona. So we got to immerse ourselves into the culture as teenagers.
That's really
cool. Yeah, and then from there, it was just, it's history. You know, we traveled all over. I was so blessed by my parents to go to Germany and Italy, France, Switzerland. And then as I got older, we continued that traveling experience. I came back to the U.S. a couple times and then went to the Philippines. That was the last place I was, where my mom's from.
Cool.
Yeah.
So whose idea was it to go to Barcelona? I don't know anyone else who actually just says, like, hey, let's just get up and go. You know?
Well, yeah, there's a lot more to the story than just let's go.
Yeah.
While we were still living in California, I was in middle school at the time. My brother's soccer career was, or all three of them, they're mm-hmm. fantastic players, or were. They retired now, but they all wanted to pursue that. It was one of their biggest dreams, and my parents are very centered on us, and what we wanted and what they wanted was for us to be happy. So when we were younger, they said, let's do it, and they sent all three boys to Spain, and then we followed suit. After we moved to Illinois, we went there for our high school so they could pursue their soccer careers.
Okay.
And we have Spanish blood, so that was partly the other reason we picked Spain to start.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you know Spanish?
I am, you know...
I've never asked that question before, so I'm like, yeah, I'm curious.
I do. I can survive if somebody needs me, but I had way too much fun teaching people English, which is what I ended up doing later on is ESL teaching and everything like that, but...
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. So you have done so much, and you talked about your brother's soccer career, but I know you've done soccer. So let's just talk about your different experiences you've had in your travels. Like, what have you been able to do? What was something like, you know, did you see yourself staying traveling or staying in the Philippines or whatever?
Yeah. Well, it definitely started, or at least my experimenting of what I wanted to do started when I was 17 or 18. I can't even remember. It's all such a blur. When we went to Spain the first time, my sister and I had the amazing experience of singing in Auditori AXA, which was like this massive auditorium. We opened for a CK gospel choir.
Wow.
UK gospel choir, they traveled from the UK and sang and opened there, and the Spanish people love gospel music.
Nice.
They are like, what is this? So for them, when they listen, it's just impressing this like beautiful life or culture that they don't have there, because of Christianity being so diverse here. It's totally a different vibe. But yeah, we had the opportunity to sing there at the International Church a few times and meet amazing people, which is where the working with women really kind of blossomed, because we were in a women's group and just meeting these women from all over the world. There's that, and my sister and I were singing constantly. Any country we went to, we were always asked to, like, hey girl, sing. My mom's
so
done
cool.
that since we were little. She'll just be like, here, stand and sing. So whether
great.
It be in a church or in a group of people. But throughout those places, we played soccer, and then I obviously was paying my way for part of it, so I taught English, I did blogging, I wrote for a sports magazine while I was playing soccer, for the women's teams to try to help that culture grow in the Philippines, because it's so young and not as pushed, but now the women's national team's doing great, and like the women's
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, the women's sports are like really flourishing now.
Good.
So that was where I started doing more fitness, and I was doing CrossFit and boxing a little bit at the gym. But yeah, it was a time of crazy experiences and opportunities, and I think God was really speaking in the individual of part of my life, like where I was at, because I'm in such a big family. There's seven of us. And, you know, when you're the youngest child, most youngest children get spoiled or whatever, but our family is not like that. And so I was kind of a follower. I liked to do everything my siblings did. So I was kind of seeking out these different passions that I had. I had no clue what I wanted to do. And definitely the sports and the writing came to be, and I started blogging a lot more, and then started my first book, which isn't done yet, but that was kind of where I started writing a lot.
Wow. Yeah, you were talking about how just you being the youngest, you were more of a follower. And I think that I'm the second youngest of my family, but I have always kind of felt like I didn't know, kind of like you were saying, like I didn't know what I was supposed to do or where I fit into the world, because, you know, with four older brothers and sisters, I'm just like, okay, you found your niche. I have no idea what I want to do. You know, I used to work for my sister's ballet company, and she, you know, knew she wanted to be a ballerina since she was like five. It's like, man, it would be so nice if I knew what I wanted to do then. So, do you ever feel like you were kind of like falling behind in terms of knowing what you wanted to do in life, or because of that, like growing up in that big family? Mm-hmm.
There were definitely moments where I would think and be like, oh, well, I mean, I want my dreams to come true, but what are they? I don't even know what a dream is. I was more anxious about wanting something, but knowing in that God had a plan. And so I wasn't really nervous. I was more, you know, like when you're in elementary school and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, I said I wanted to be a farmer. So,
oh, great.
Super random. My dad was a farmer, so that wasn't super random. But in a sense, I knew that wasn't going to happen. I was just giving an answer because they wanted an answer. But I took one of those tests as a kid, and they told me I would be a curator of arts. Oh. And I was like, oh, that's cool, but because I like history and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have to limit ourselves, and so, or at least I don't think we should, because dreams change constantly, and when people enter our lives, they change. And I knew that, like, for example, I'm 31 now, but before, when I was 16, I knew already way back then that I wasn't really planning on getting in a whole bunch of relationships. I really wasn't pursuing that part of me. I know some girls get really excited about that. I didn't. I was more thinking, well, whoever that person is I end up with, their dreams are going to mold with mine, and we're going to have a really exciting life, and I don't need to, like, pursue all this crazy stuff when I don't really want it. So I was pretty chill as a teenager. I didn't get too crazy.
Yeah, that's super nice. I wish I wasn't like that as a teenager, being boy crazy. I think I've mellowed out a little bit. So, but I'm the same as you. Like, I just definitely want someone whose dreams align with mine to where we can walk together in it. But I totally agree. I think, you know, for even me, like, my dreams have completely changed, and to where I feel like I just want to follow what God wants me to do and what he's called me to do. And I've even had felt like I needed to set some of my other dreams aside to make room for what he has for me. So, you know, it just, every day is different. And that's kind of one of the things that I try to talk about and teach is, or, you know, with young women, is just like, just say yes to him every day. You have no idea what that yes is going to bring for you.
Say yes to the doors that are opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That are good doors. Be cautious, but be good.
Yes. So with all these places, like, did you feel like there was one place you found where it felt more like home than others?
Up until we moved to Illinois, actually, that was home. California was home. That's all I knew, and it was amazing. But when I went back, obviously it wasn't the same, you know. I was kind of confused about what home was for a long time, because coming to Illinois as a teenager, of course, there's always going to be that culture shock. And to me, I realized that culture shock, people were like, you're going to do this or feel this. And I was like, I don't know what that means. But the easiest explanation of culture shock to me was, it was as if I went on vacation and never left. And as great as vacation is, it can also be like very, like, intense if you're not leaving a calmness. Calmness mm-hmm. is good for certain times, but then we have to move. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of shocked for a few years, and then it just kind of became my life of just constantly moving. I didn't mm-hmm. stop. And I think now that I'm, like, 31 and kind of calm again, I feel comfortable here. I actually haven't felt this calm mm. in probably 5 to 8 years, just because I've been traveling so much and constantly in a suitcase. Mm. I just settled into my new place, so I'm like, oh, this is chill, and mm. I feel at peace. Like, this is home. I think at least for now, Illinois is my spot.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm really glad that you felt that way, because I think, you know, for you and I, who've both been, you've traveled a whole lot more than I have, but I, for a season, I was also, like, out of my suitcase, and, you know, I, it kind of felt weird to go back to a place that was so steady, like Peoria, because that's where my parents live, and we grew up here from when I was 12 up until college, and I moved away. So coming back here, I was like, I'm not supposed to be here.
Right. It feels like it's too calm.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah. Or it's, you know, to me, my thought was like, this is just too boring. There's nothing here. How can people help me with the dreams I have? But I couldn't be more wrong. So I'm really glad that, you know, you found a calm and peace here. And we're actually recording in her house, and it's super cute, very, very homey. And we're sipping our lattes from down the street in a mug. But so it's really, really nice. Like, I walking into your house, it feels like really like a home. So
thank you.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you found this peace in the midst of kind of craziness in your in your life and everything, because we've actually talked about that, where, you know, you believed, I don't think, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you felt like you really wanted to move back to Peoria, but you believed that God made it clear for you that you had to. So how did he make that clear for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was crazy busy in the Philippines. I mean, I was scheduled basically back to back with events and things I was doing, like teaching in the morning, and I didn't drive there, so I was either running to the locations or walking or taking a little taxi. Mm. But 90% of the time I was running, unless it was like way across town. And so it would be like fitness and then gym time and then teaching and then blogging and then, yeah, you know, just constant, and then music. So all those things were really like at high points. I was just immersed in them, and I felt like, wow, God's really moving in my life. Mm-hmm. But there was also a constant pull from back home here where Dad was, and I wanted to get home. And I knew then that, like, if God could open the doors, he's going to close them for me, because I personally have a hard time closing doors mm-hmm. if they need to be closed. Mm-hmm. And so in that, I trusted him, and those doors seriously did close. My knee gave out on the soccer field. Mm. My funding ended for my education. Like, mm. they pulled out. I had a scholarship through the church, and they were just like, no, we're not going to do it anymore. And that was right before I was supposed to start the semester. I had a couple other scholarships that were chill, through the futsal for the women's team, and then a business scholarship. But those things didn't end. But, you know, just other things that were involved when it started to shut down. And then, gosh, my articles, two to three articles were being published in the next few days. They pulled all three. Mm. And they were like, we're going a different direction. So that was like, whoa, wow. Dude, what?
Wow.
You're pulling all three at once?
Yeah.
I just did those events. And I was pretty shocked, because then they were also unwilling to pay. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey, you had me rewrite those three times because we had an editor change. Mm. But anyway, it was just doors were shutting. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be upset about any of this. I think God has a purpose in it, and I'm going to be chill. And I just was in a lot of prayer about my parents and coming home. And at that point, I think I really did need to come home. And so I just made the decision, made the call, and closed doors appropriately, mm-hmm. you know, filed my 2 weeks notice, all that stuff, being professional about as much as I could in all those things, and got a ticket home. I mean,
yeah.
I think God definitely assists us unintentionally, not to hurt us, but right. to just push us back onto the main road, the skinny road. Because if we're like saying yes to everything, which is what I happen to do a lot, mm-hmm. We can't focus on the things he wants us to do. Right. So when he was shutting the doors, I was like, okay, he's giving me the right direction, because although these are my dreams, he's either going to reuse them for something else, mm-hmm. or they're not really meant to continue on. I mean, just because I played for 15 to 20 years in mm-hmm. soccer doesn't mean that I'm going to play pro, or I'm going to, my knee's not going to give out, or there aren't going to be risks involved. So
yeah.
I think he had a reason for all those things, and it wasn't an end to my passions. It was just a pause, mm-hmm. because it's not that he didn't care. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I can totally agree with all of that. And I think what's interesting to remind people, too, is that when you are trying to get a clear answer from the Lord, he's not always going to have those closed doors or that answer to you be pain-free.
Right.
You know, sometimes there is actually like a, he needs to push you into some place that you're uncomfortable or where you do experience pain, because, you know, when you are fighting what you want to do versus what he wants to do, you know, like for instance, with my business, I'm doing this full time right now, but I had been questioning if I should for the longest time, and he made it clear through, you know, a situation where I would not have chosen it for myself. And so, yes. You know, that was something that I wouldn't have done, because I wasn't uncomfortable being in the place of like, I don't know what tomorrow will bring mm-hmm. if I do this. Where am I going to get funding? How am I going to make a living? Like, you know, I'm still staying with my parents. That's great. But, you know, what I don't like being uncertain about tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure you can also relate on that aspect. But, you know, it's just a reminder, like, if God is going to make something clear to you, it's not always going to be easy, and you're not always going to have a plan B that he's already lined up for you. He's exactly. wanting you to trust in him in the uncomfortable season, because that's actually where we draw nearer to him. Like right now, I'm like, Lord, okay. Oh, even though my head and my heart don't align, I do trust you deep down. And I have to continue to remind myself of that. Mm-hmm. So
no, that's what I was literally thinking about that. You triggered a thought, because one of the verses I was really keen on sharing is one of my grandmothers. I didn't get to know my grandmother very well, because she, my mother's mom, was in the Philippines. Mm. And one of her favorite verses was James 4, boasting about tomorrow. Can I share that?
Yes,
really
please.
Quick? I was like, oh, this is timely. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city, or sorry, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or mm-hmm. that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, it sins. Mm-hmm. So my Lola, that was one of her favorite verses, and she always told that when someone would say, oh, what are you planning on doing tomorrow? She'd be like, if it be the Lord's will, I'll be there.
Yeah.
She would never say yes to an event or like attend it unless she, like, you can't factually say, I'm going to be there next month.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, I plan on being there, but you can't factually say it's going to happen, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And I think that's what I was thinking of when you were talking about that, because we constantly say, I'm going to do this, and we don't know if it's actually going to happen. We just hope it does.
Right.
You know, it's all we can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed that reminder too. So it's just... You know, it's a very hard thing to not plan, because we are big planners in our life.
Yeah.
But I love that what she said. It was like, you know, I'll be there tomorrow if the Lord wills it. So
exactly.
I should put that in my, you know, when I reserve on Facebook or something to an event, say, I'll be there if the Lord wills it. So
I love that.
Yeah. So actually, I'm curious, because I don't think I've ever asked you this before. Did you leave first from the Philippines? Was your whole family there? Or did y'all kind of like up and leave together? Or did they leave before you, or?
So we all went, or four of us went together, my siblings. We were in a band at the time, Spirit on the Water. And so we were rock and rolling in Memphis.
Oh, cool.
And my cousin was getting married, and we'd never met anyone in the Philippines because of, you know, there being five of us, and it's sometimes over $2,000 just to fly to the Philippines. So we never did it. And it was a perfect opportunity for us to meet our relatives because they were all going from the southern islands of Basilan up north to Manila for the wedding.
Okay.
So my mom was like, you guys should come. So all of us playing in the or in our band, the four of us were in Memphis at the time working on our music. We packed up, we brought our stuff up here to Illinois, and we flew to the Philippines. And then my brother's soccer career came back to life. He had retired. I mean, we all stopped playing at that point.
Yeah.
But when he was a kid, he was on the U.S. national team. So he met these guys out in California. I think I could be mixing up the story a little bit, but there were some college guys and people playing pickup games in California. And they got that's how they got reacquainted was he was in town. And he's like, hey, how you doing? They were like, you should play again. So his career picked up and the music slowed down. And then when we were leaving, we left in individually. So my sister, she was like done with everything. She's like, I'm out. So she flew back probably 3 or 4 months before I did.
Okay.
And I was still holding on to all my little threads. I was like, I still have a reason. I know there's a reason I'm here. There has to be. I was scared to let go. I honestly was. Like, those doors literally had to shut in my face by God for me to leave. and it did. So she left before I did, and then I left, and then my other siblings slowly came back. Mick finished his career. He, like, retired as a player and then got married and everything, so they moved back. But, yeah, slowly but surely every single Tanton came back.
I mean, God just really wanted you all to come back here, so.
I think so.
That's great. So whenever there is a change in our plans for life, I feel like there are some mountains and valleys through those changes. So what would you say are some of the lowest valleys that you've experienced when you believe that some of your dreams were coming to an end?
I know that when I was going through those experiences, I think one of the biggest things that I came across that was a struggle for me was actually after I came back and my sister had her first baby, and I mentioned the twin thing. We are tighter than most twins usually are. Some there's usually one that's very independent and one that's dependent. I'm very dependent. So when she left, she was like, I got my own thing. I'm going to do this. Well, she had her first baby and moved to Peoria. And that's when, like, my life got shaken up because I can do all these crazy things. But when I, at the end of the day, it's like she's my person. As you know, when somebody gets married, their person is their person. I've already had my person since I was born. And so when she left, she didn't leave me, but she left me. And I didn't realize what that was going to be. It was a pretty huge impact. And I didn't know that I would be walking through loneliness in that sense. So learning about myself, she definitely in a good way forced me to learn who I am, not just in God, but as an individual seeking life and having relationships with other people outside of our little bubble. And that was scary. I love people already. That's not an issue for me, but, I definitely felt very alone for a lot of it. And so I was going through a wave of, like, evening blues. They, you know, with elderly, they get, like, the, what is it called? Evening, they have some sort of term for it, but when the sun goes down, sundowning.
Okay.
I was teasing, with all my friends. I was like, guys, I'm sundowning.
Oh, man.
But no, it was very, very self, how do I explain it? It was really challenging for me to just understand myself, I think, and be happy. So I was seeking joy, I was seeking peace, seeking a different version of Leia, and I grew a lot. So that was one of my biggest mountains. And then going through that was, there were constant challenges. And in my career, my different, like my work and my music, I was writing very different music. I would jump around. Sometimes it'd be really sad music, and then sometimes it'd be very lively and worshipful. So that was really interesting on looking back and going, where was God in all of this, and how did he affect my daily? So I had to constantly and daily, I was in prayerful mode, like where you're just sitting there talking to him, but you're by yourself. So I also had to be careful about how I looked, because if I was around people and I'm like talking to Jesus, it's like I'm staring off into space, and they're like, what is wrong with that chick over there?
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break from my conversation with Leia to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. I'm all for women knowing that they have a place in the body of Christ to further advance his kingdom, and I believe that this magazine really does encourage and inspire women to know that the gifts and talents God has given them is not by accident, but is by design. Y'all, you were created for God and by God. You were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance his kingdom. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when things feel so difficult to keep going. Trust me, I'm there right now and I feel ya. All I can say is that the women on my team who write on the different passions women have actually encourages me in my own faith walk, and I believe it can be true for you too. Our summer issue, which surrounds the theme of the Mountains and Valley series we've been talking about right now, is still available, and it's not too late to grab your copy. If you use code DIS15, that's DIS15, you can purchase our summer issue for 15% off, or you can purchase an annual subscription. It's already marked at 15% off the retail price, but you can get it for an additional 15% off using that code. Y'all, I'm serious about wanting to encourage you with this magazine, so don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Leia.
Yeah, so do you, I mean, I know that with, because I felt like when my dreams were coming to an end, that I didn't really feel like God cared about my dreams. It was like, okay, Lord, like, you told me to set this aside, and I had to be prepared for him never to bring that back up in my life again. And so that was really challenging for me, because I had gone through this season of doubt and with him of like, God, you gave me these dreams on my heart. Right. You know, what are you doing that now you're saying, no, not right now? I mean, I didn't know if it was right, not right now, but at the time
it
I had,
like it.
Yeah. So, you know, I, for me, I know that I just really felt, and that actually drew me closer to the Lord as well, but it was really hurtful for me to have to say, no, I guess, like, because I've wanted to be a singer since I was 8, and he clearly said, no, just don't do that. So did you ever feel that way, like God just didn't really care about the dreams on your heart when he, like, kind of shifted your change in direction, closing all these doors, bringing you back to Peoria and everything?
I definitely had a few moments when I first got back where I was slightly upset. I didn't want to say that I was mad at God. I felt like that would be too extreme, because I was fine. Drama.
Yeah.
But I never thought he didn't care. I just really wondered why. Like, my big question was, why are you doing this? Because I knew, like, he's victorious. I already know he, like, my purpose in life is bringing others to Christ. I know that. And that's, as a Christian, that's literally everybody's goal, right? We just are using our gifts and our talents and our amazing abilities to bring others to Christ. So if he doesn't want to use my singing right now, he's not going to use it. If he doesn't want to use my writing to push, or like push a message to somebody so they feel alive, then it's not the time. So I just felt confused in the sense of like, why bring all of those things up, bring all of my passions to the table where I'm just like immersed in my passions, and then pull them all back? That's really all I was wondering. But I knew that he had a plan with my pause, and then he's going to push me forward. So it's really just in that moment being able to tell yourself, like, it's all good. He's got a plan, and I just need to calm down.
Yeah.
So even if it's a pause or a complete end,
yeah,
he has a reason for it.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and for me too, like, I or at least this is just some good advice for anyone who's listening, is that if it feels like he's putting a pause or it seems like he doesn't care about your dreams, usually it means that he has something bigger in store for you. Mm-hmm. And so it could be that he will bring those dreams back to life in a bigger way. But sometimes, like, you know, I think for both of us, we've kind of had different dreams come alive to where he's doing something actually, something I would never have dreamt up for myself. And he mm-hmm. says, actually, I want to use you for this purpose.
I'm going to pull it back in.
Yes. And then he'll start like incorporating other ways, because I'm singing with my church. I'm so enjoying that and loving how I'm able to bring others in worship before the Lord and things like that. I'm just like, okay, like I'm still doing what I love and I'm going to trust in whatever else he has for me. And even this podcast, I would never have started this, but right. God's like, here you go. I'm like, okay.
I never thought he'd have me in a podcast. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm being asked to speak. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, I'm going to bring in another scripture for you because that is perfect. My favorite scripture, one of my favorites, is all about that. What you were talking about, like why, mm-hmm. like what's the stop? And that night, I remember specifically when I was struggling, when I first got back, I was crying for sure. Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure it was one of those silent cries where you hope no one in the house can hear you mm-hmm. through the vents.
Yeah.
And I was very deeply saddened. And I, at that point, I could barely read the Bible. Mm. I was struggling. I used to, as a teenager, when I first gave my life to Christ, at that point, I was reading the Bible every single night because I was on this goal of, I'm going to read the whole thing and be that one person. But that night, it's when you're in your deepest and sulkiest moment where you can't breathe, mm-hmm. that's when scripture really amazingly comes to mind, because God's already, that's why we read. We read mm-hmm. the words so that it can be implanted in our souls, in our mm-hmm. hearts, in our minds. And when those moments come where we can't physically read it, it's already in us. Mm-hmm. So God speaks to us through the word. That's exactly what the point of immersing yourself in his word and getting to know him, so that he can help pull you out when you don't know how to. And Psalm 23 did that for me a lot when I was alone, pretty much trying to deal with family help and then being without Maria. I was sitting there or lying there in bed and crying, and this verse stuck out to me because we used to speak it in church a lot, you know, when we read through with the whole congregation. Mm-hmm. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Especially that phrase, I shall not be in want mm-hmm. in all of our desires. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Mm-hmm. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking about mountains and valleys and where are we going? What are we doing? How do we handle this? I shall not be in want. Mm-hmm. And he restores my soul, and I will fear no evil when people are up against our passions, our dreams, when people want to knock us down.
Yeah.
We don't need to fear, for we have him anointing our head with oil and overflowing with his peace. And when we dwell in him in our darkest moments, he always carries us out.
Yes.
It's scary, but it's, can you imagine that kind of trust to have in something?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's someone super beautiful. And you know, you had said something earlier that I think people need to hear, and just for us to emphasize this fact is that, you know, I think for some people growing up, they're told, go into scripture every day, even when you are at your lowest, you know, that if we feel so depressed or in our lowest times, or even in the days where we forget, you know, that we're not a good enough Christian, or we're not doing our due diligence to be in scripture and be in the word. And yes, it is important to be in the word as much as we can. But, you know, when you were talking about in those moments, I couldn't pick up my Bible. The scripture was already hidden in my heart. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of Paul in prison. You know, he didn't have any of that. And there was no, like, he didn't have his Torah with him. He didn't, like, he is writing letters and that became scripture, but he didn't have that. He knew who God was through his upbringing as well, because he was a very strong Jew and he knew his scriptures. And so in those moments, I think it's just a good reminder for anyone listening, do not feel guilty if you're not able to be in the Word as often as you want, especially in those dark moments you find yourself in. The Lord will speak to you through scripture, or even if you don't know scripture as well, there are some thoughts that will come into your mind that you won't even realize until you find it later in scripture, like, oh, God said this to me, you know? And it's, I think it's just beautiful that is the power of the living Word inside us, and how we can know that we can trust in it because it is balm to our soul, mm-hmm. even when we can't pick it up and we can't read it word for word.
Yeah, well, I mean, even just to be heavily reliant upon the physical Bible, mm-hmm. you're almost forgetting that there's the Holy Spirit. I mean, before the Word was written on scribes, mm-hmm. or scrolls, or just any paper, any form of it, it was spoken.
Right.
It was living in that sense. Mm-hmm. And you have to, and that's the other part about the church, is the community and the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We are the body of Christ. We are the people, his people. And that's the importance of being in a body with people and going to church. And it's not just because we want you in a building. It's literally like these people carry the Word and they can help embody what that means, and also bring to life these words of encouragement of mm-hmm. when we're seeking peace, our friends that are followers, if they see that, they can speak the Word to us when we don't have emotion or physical ability to sit there and read the scripture. Because mm-hmm. when your head's somewhere else, you're emotionally like in a totally different place, it's hard to read the Bible. It's hard mm-hmm. to sit there and go, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't feel this. This doesn't feel right. But when we hear it from somebody, sometimes the message comes off very differently. When somebody's telling me, reading out loud, just the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I can read that in silence, or somebody, my best friend could be sitting next to me being like, Leia, remember, the Lord is our shepherd, mm-hmm. I shall not want. The message comes off so differently, and it's okay to come off in a different way because it's the Holy Spirit moving. Mm-hmm. We can't act for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to move in those ways.
That's right. Yeah, that's really encouraging. And I hope those listening will also be encouraged by this, that there are so many ways that the Lord can move in your life and in your heart. And, there are multiple facets of what it means to be a Christ follower. And mm-hmm. that is actually the beautiful thing that Jesus gives us. If he just gave us the Word, then we wouldn't have that strong community, and we wouldn't have the body of Christ to mm-hmm. where, you know, he mentions this because, and then the Holy Spirit as well, like you're saying, like there are just multiple ways that we can draw near to him. He doesn't want just one aspect to be all that we focus on, whether it's just the church, just the Bible, just the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like he brings all of those aspects of who he is and what he's presenting to us so that in every season we can draw near to him.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
Beautiful. I love it. Mm-hmm. So you've already mentioned like one of the mountains of what it was like when you were able to get through the valley of uncertainty of who you are, and that mountain of like, I figured it out in Jesus and all that stuff. So what are some other mountains or that you've seen throughout the constant changing of your path?
Well, one of the other more recent ones that I can kind of move on is during that time of him closing all the doors where I thought I was an expert at. I mean, no, I wasn't an expert, mm-hmm. but, you know, my passions were, like, things that I was pursuing that I felt strong about. Mm-hmm. I came home and I got a job at a restaurant again. I told myself I would never do it again because it was horrible. I mean, it was good, but just not great. Like, customer service, oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't even have to tell you what it means. Okay. Everybody knows what that means. they've all had bad experiences. But in the customer service world, every single job is a customer service job because mm-hmm. we're all seeking a customer to buy our service. So whatever job you're in, it doesn't matter. It's all customer service based. So at the end of the day, you just have to get over the fact that people are just people. And even if they're Christians, sometimes they'll disappoint you.
Right.
And by world standards, I was not qualified for my job. Even if you talk to my bosses and they tell you how great mm-hmm. of a job I was doing, I definitely didn't think that I was, but at the time it was God opening another door. And he took me out of the serving industry and brought me into the law, law side of things. And
I'm only laughing just because I know who you are.
I know most of my friends are like, Leah, you're intense. It's totally you. But at the time, like, you know me now, but when I was like 18, I wouldn't say that I was that intense. I mean, I'm serious and I don't go out on a million dates with all these guys and I don't do crazy things. That's just Leah. But I didn't see that. I never saw myself in the legal world. I felt I wasn't qualified because I also didn't finish school in that realm. Like, what? Right. Well, now you want me to be here in a law firm doing paper stuff? I don't know. So I've had a lot of challenges in that growth, in that job of being handed something I had no clue what I was doing, but being trusted to do it. That was amazing. I mean, my bosses are amazing. So it made sense because of who they are. I just couldn't believe it. But they saw something in me that I didn't, and that's what God does with us. He sees us in a different light in all areas and constantly goes, no, you can do it. You're just kind of like saying you can't.
Right.
So navigating through a career I had no clue what I was doing, but constantly just pushing for it. I'm 5 years later and in the job, and I feel amazing, and I'm excited to learn more. I think if we tell ourselves that we're done learning, then you definitely won't grow. So being open to learning and constructive criticism is a huge on a Christian. I think people forget that the seriousness of growing is really just being able to take constructive criticism. I think a lot of our generation is closing that off because they're proud.
Right.
We really need to calm down.
We're offended easily. You know?
It's not good. Even just as a Christian alone, too. Not even talking about that, because this is so specific to us. But Christians are meant to change, or everyone's meant to change. But specifically, if you're choosing to follow Christ, we have to change because we're trying to be more Christ-like.
Right.
But if we think that we're perfect because we read the Bible, we've got it wrong. That's just not how it is. And the same goes for our careers. We have to be open-minded about the growth so that we can change and be better. Because the more that we work hard to be better in our regular lives, in our Jesus life, we will be pushed to our dreams. God will open those doors up again because he can only hand you as much as you're able to take.
Yeah.
And once you're done learning with that little thing, he'll give you something greater.
Yeah.
But if you don't do a good job with that little tiny thing, he can't give you more. So we have to be able to take these mountains and break them down a little bit and then move through those valleys through and push through so that he can bring us to greater mountains.
Yeah. Again, it's just a matter of obedience. I mean,
exactly.
I've shared this on a previous podcast as well, but God always chooses the people that are so unexpected to do, you know, something for his will. So even with you at the law firm, like, that's something for his will. You don't really know exactly what it is, and you would never have chosen that for yourself, but God is saying, like, no, I'm going to choose Leah, you know. And same with, like, I think a lot of people, even business owners that I've talked to, they say, I would never have thought that I would ever do this. Was never a part of my plan is to be a small business owner. And if you talk to any of them, they're like, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody else just because there's a lot of stress with it. But, you know, they are, it's just like a matter of obedience. There's some, for Christians or not, there's a little thought in your mind that says, no, you're going to be doing this. And I think it's just really great. Like, I mean, I've used this example before, but like David, he was a shepherd and then he became the king of Israel, and no one, even in his own family and his brothers, did not like think that David was going to be the next person. And God says, no, he is a man after my own heart. And that is what God cares about, is that we are children after his own heart. So I think, like, with that obedience, there's always blessings on the other side of it. So do you think that you've seen blessings? Have you, like, how has that been evident in your life because of your obedience to him in the constant changing? Like, what are some examples of those blessings that you've seen?
Oh my gosh. There are so many. Yeah. I don't even know where to start. Especially in the last 5 years, I came home for a big reason mm-hmm. for my family. And so I thought everything was ending. But mm-hmm. obviously, 5 years later, those goals that I had when I first got back and mm-hmm. why I got back for the family, those have literally come to a peaceful place. So my family is really great. Everything's going well. My career has shifted. When I thought that God was pulling me from a steady job, like working as a bartender, most yeah. musicians are going to go, I'm going to work at a restaurant or a bar so that I can mm-hmm. be flexible and quit if I want to, right? That's the most, yeah. most teenagers are like, I'm going to quit this job after a month.
Yeah.
I had that mentality because I wanted the flexibility to do music. So if I can't take a shift, I can go do music, you know.
Right.
But when he pulled me from that to put me at a desk, I was like, this, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do an 8 to 5, like, yeah. or an 8 to 4, whatever I was doing. But in fact, it was a complete shift to peace because mm-hmm. then I had physical strength and energy to do things in the after hours mm-hmm. because before as a server I was lifting crates and I was loading like beverage or like bottles and just running back and forth cleaning mats, like everything you could think of mm-hmm. I was doing, and I was doing it super intensely because I didn't want to hire a bar back. I was like, no, please don't hire one, I want all the tips to myself. Yeah. So I was breaking back to make extra cash so that I could spend for my music. But I was so exhausted at the end of the day that I never really could do music.
Right.
And so then I got that office job and I was like, okay, there's another blessing because yeah. I didn't have the brain enough or perspective enough to go, stability will help me. Mm-hmm. So then I became stable in that. And my employers are literally like, yeah, you need, I remember when I said I didn't want to settle. I was like, if Jesus tells me to leave tomorrow, I'm leaving. They're like, come on, give me some stability. I couldn't even do that, but they were willing to say, okay, if you have gigs and stuff, just let us know and you can take time off. I haven't really had to do that because the schedule is so amazing. I work and then in the evenings I can book gigs.
Yeah.
So my music career has opened up again. I released a track in January. That's and awesome. Then more to come, but also live shows. So I started singing in Peoria regularly. Mm-hmm. It's amazing where when we think that the doors are shutting, but God paused it and he's straight up opening them again.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. And I'm like so happy for you. And I think when we met, you were just coming into that season.
I was.
So I'm so excited to see that for you. And I saw you sing and it was crowded. So, that's just really incredible to see that, and I think it's just, again, a great reminder for anyone listening that God does not forget about the dreams on your heart. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're there because he's placed them there. And maybe those dreams will look different in how he has that come to life. But
yeah.
He never forgets it because he made you the way that you are for a reason. So mm-hmm. Whether, you know, you want to be an astronaut one day or or a singer like ourselves or a writer, like God has, you know, already planned out your life. So if we can trust in him in the daily, then, and just not worry about that tomorrow and just say, okay, Lord, like I just give my life to you today. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do today? Then he is going to bless you for your obedience. So with all of that, you know, our podcast is called Dress in Splendor. It's based off of Luke 12:27 that people can listen at the very beginning of the episode, but it's really basically how the Lord instructs us to be like the wildflowers and not worry about tomorrow or about our current circumstances, and just rather to trust in him that he will make a way for you and has a plan for your life already set in place. So after hearing this and how it might apply through our conversations about the mountains and valleys we may face when life doesn't turn out the way we've planned, what is some advice or encouragement you can give to someone who is currently feeling as though God may have forgotten their dreams?
Absolutely. One of the things I want to leave is from, I guess, a more artistic perspective
yeah.
of allowing the hard things to help you grow in that obedience and realizing and understanding that when you follow suit and you do what he asks you to do, he can hand you greater things. But two, your perspective's going to be changed. You're going to have open eyes. Like the way that I see my past is crazy. Like you look, it's like looking at a painting for the first time and coming back to it and then going, oh, wow, I didn't see that before. When we allow for the experiences to mold us or change us, we can come back and look at it with bigger and better views. Like, I look back and I see everything clearer and with open eyes when I look at my life, because I'm like, wow, he brought me through so much. And just thinking about what he's going to bring you to and how much you're going to grow, that's pretty encouraging also. And just trusting in him, because Hebrews 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I mean, we live by that, right? As Christians, that's what we chose. Yeah. So we have to actually live that out, is having that faith to trust in something we can't see, in God. We can't see what he's doing. We can't see him, but we have his Holy Spirit to guide us. We know that he's victorious. He's already won. So when we stress ourselves out, we lose that moment in that stress.
Yeah.
So the less time that you spend stressing, the more time he has for you to see the beautiful painting in front of you of what life is like, and that sunset he has every morning, those promises that come every morning. Because ultimately, when we have an uncontrolled emotion, like sometimes we let our emotions take hold of us, but when it's uncontrolled, it can destroy our purpose, because our purpose is in Christ and what we're doing. He placed them, he placed these dreams in us so that we can use them to his purpose. So we know it's done. We know he's victorious, as I said. So it is well with my soul. That's how it should always be. James 5:19, my last, I'll give you one more. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. We as individual are tasked to do that for others. Like, I want to live the rest of my life helping one more person, one more person, one person. So if we control our emotions and focus on the purpose with our dreams that he's using to his purpose, we will help others along the way as well as ourselves.
That's wonderful. I love that. And I think it just reminded me too of just the, like you said, the stress and anxiety that comes in, I think, everybody's lives, whether some people have it a little bit more worse or not, that even in those moments of stress, anxiety, or even depression, if you're going through that, like, if the Lord can bring you out of that, first and foremost, I just want to remind you of this. But, you know, that, like you said, it's a testimony. Our lives are a living testimony of who he is, and how we can use each part of that to draw people near to him. And so, you know, that's why I love this podcast, is that there are so many different testimonies people have, to where I know someone who's listening to it, it's applicable for them, and they need that reminder. But then when they get on the other side, they are able to share it with their circle of friends and their oikos of people in their life. And it's just like a well of just a fountain. It just keeps, like, I don't know exactly the analogy I'm looking for, but it continues to just spread further and further. The more that we share, it has, like, the testimonies just have huge impact when we share it with one person, then it reaches like five people, and then their five people reach five more people. So it's, I think I love that, that our testimonies have such weight to them. So thank you for sharing that piece of advice, and also just being on the podcast. It's been such a joy to talk with you. So before we end, Leah, where can people find you? Where can they find your music? Like, all that stuff. If you're in Peoria, where can they hear you sing?
Well, yeah, Leah's a little bit of everywhere. Some weeknights I'm with Youth for Christ Metamora. So you'll, if you sneak in, you might hear me speaking with kids. For music, I'm currently, I have three upcoming shows on the fourth Wednesday of every month for the next 4 months at the 33 Room in the Heights. And that's online. So you can look at my Instagram, I guess. I have an Instagram, underscore Leah Tanton underscore. That's my Instagram. Or you can just look me up on my website, mlcarpio.com. That's M-L-C-A-R-P-I-O. com.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll share that information in the show notes as well. And we'll tag you on social media. So give her a follow. Her voice is really beautiful. And I know that there's going to be more to come from you in the future. And I just cannot wait. And anytime that happens, we will share it. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks everyone from who's listening. We will catch you next time.
Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope this conversation blessed you in some way, shape, or form. If you felt in your life like God doesn't care about your dreams or your life just isn't turning out the way you thought it would, I pray that each one of you found encouragement from what Leah and I shared in this episode. We hope that this conversation and conversations to come may further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Thank you, Leah, for joining the show. And for those of you who want to give her a follow, go to our show notes and find out where you can do that. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for joining us today. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.